I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but they are kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic, it's getting better up in here. We've got a fine journalist joining us from the Washington Post. He's our pal, David Weigel. David, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be back. Can you guys hear me okay?
We're hearing you. Now we're seeing you, man.
All right, David. Yeah. Good to
welcome
see you.
To the political party.
I forgot to push the button after a year of only going on Zooms. I forgot to push the button, but I'm here.
David, we appreciate you doing so. Your article at the Washington Post today, you talked about what is probably going to be the next Republican wedge issue, and it's reopening the schools and, of course, blaming the Democrats. David, when do you think Republicans came up with this bright idea? I mean, they've been hammering the governor of the state of Wisconsin since his earliest closures, but has this become a nationwide trend, sir?
It is a nationwide trend. I mean, Republicans, really 8 days into the Biden presidency, and there's nothing wrong with having a strategy fast, just I'm just noting how fast they came up with it. The CDC had put out a report saying, actually, in the study of Wisconsin, that in schools that had masks and social distancing, schools that were back in action but under regulations, that the infection rate wasn't that higher than anything else in the counties they were studying. And so Republicans grabbed that and said, look, if the CDC's report says this, then there's no reason for the resistance of teachers' unions to send people back to work without vaccines. That's their position. It's very simple. And this is the nice thing about being out of power. There's not many nice things. But the nice thing is that you don't have to explain every day why things are not back to normal. You can kind of say, move it up. Like, get it. Let's get it going. So they've been working on that. The only complication really is that this messaging is nationwide. It's in every state, but there's places where people are hearing this and saying, look, my county went back to in-person a while ago. It's aimed a lot at some suburbs that are still closed down. And the Democrats I talked to were not super concerned about that yet. They think that, look, Joe Biden said he's going to have most people back in schools in 100 days. We're 70 some days away from that. And they are, maybe they're naive, but their idea is Republicans might be talking about this, but this is not something that voters have given up on Joe Biden on. And the polling's kind of backing that up. The polling we've seen from Quinnipiac, most recent one, people don't love this, but more people think that the reopenings are going about as fast as they can be than think they need to be sped up.
Well, David, my impression is the vast majority of Republicans could give a damn about the education of other people's kids, at least. So what do you think the impetus is? Is it purely electoral politics? I mean, they just had an election, no more elections, primarily to the midterms. Is this just the newest way to beat up Democrats?
Oh, yeah. And again, if you listen to Republicans describe this strategy, they're pretty open about it. They're saying, and some of this is I'd say trolling influenced, right? Which is Democrats love talking, and they'll say this, Democrats love talking about the science, but there's a CDC report that's science. They're not listening to it. So they're kind of rushing in and saying Democrats are being anti-science by not opening right away. And this is a thing you always kind of ask with Republicans right now in this environment where Fox News drives a lot of messaging, where Newsmax does. I'm not sure if that's how people really think about this. Again, the polling has been, there's a core of people. There's the Republicans especially think this is happening too slow. But at this moment, just a month into, I mean, really not even a month, and Biden was sworn in 2 days from now, a month ago, that people are not quite there yet. And the other thing that's telling, I mean, relevant to Wisconsin, the other thing I mentioned this story in a little bit more today, is you have this state superintendent race, and it is not shaping up like a reopen schools referendum. You know, both of these candidates, one of whom is more pro-school choice, obviously, one's backed by unions, but I looked at that and said, okay, there's an election right as Republicans are saying this. And if they want to run referendums around the country on reopening schools right away, they can't do it. I mean, they're not trying to do it in Wisconsin. And, you know, that's not Kerr's opinion, reopen without safety precautions. That's actually something these two candidates agree on.
Well, David, I don't know if you saw, but Kerr's already blown up her candidacy the day after she won the primary.
Please explain it again. I want people to hear it again.
Well, she apparently commented at 5:45 p.m. on election day. She's commenting on Twitter on some black activist stream. When's the first time someone ever called you the N-word? And she said, well, when I was a 16-year-old student, I had big lips and they called me that. Apparently, she's deleted her account and probably her candidacy, but officially she's still on the ballot on April 6th. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest, David Weigel. He is live via Zoom. And David, this whole pandemic has been politicized. And I would say it's been politicized by Donald Trump. But these Republicans have followed his lead in the state of Wisconsin. It's terrible. I mean, these guys are up there, you know, putting up illicit Christmas trees and having super spreader events, doing Christmas carols. Have you ever seen a public emergency? I mean, we've got, what, 500,000 dead Americans, and they're still acting like it's a hoax, David.
They are, and I want to repeat what I was saying about the CDC guidelines. I think the Republicans have made a couple of bets that people are going to get exhausted with lockdowns and regulations, and they haven't really paid off, right? I mean, if you were in Madison last summer, early last summer, there were people who were convincing themselves that, oh, well, the people showing up at the Capitol to say end the lockdowns now, that's the new Tea Party. That's where the people's heads are at. And that hasn't been what happened. And I'm not trying to predict all the politics. I'm saying the opposite, that we have a story of how people reacted to this last year and hasn't moved. You saw with, you know, Alex Lazary getting into the Senate race, the first thing Republicans mentioned about him is that he got vaccinated too quickly. I understand why they're mentioning that, but you do wonder if there's this tension of between Republicans saying, on the one hand, we're at the end of reaching the end of the corner. Joe Biden inherited this great situation from Donald Trump. We're going to be out of this as soon as possible. And also saying it's a disaster how this is being implemented. Now, each state has undergone a kind of, unless you know, one party is in control of everything, there's been a fight like you have in Wisconsin over the mandates, over the safety regulations everywhere. And you're right. The thing that is strange is there's not a place where the mask regulations or the lockdowns became unpopular. I think it's very interesting in New York, for example, where Andrew Cuomo is facing all these questions about the nursing homes and the data of infections in nursing homes, whether he covered that up. That was not the first thing Republicans went after him over. It was kind of, that's a real story, but the oomph, I guess, that has also gets at how little oomph there was from just running against Cuomo and saying he's hurting businesses by locking everybody down. So that's a tension. This is kind of the story of the age with Republicans, is that what are the issues? What are the lifestyle choices? What's anything that is popular with their base and popular with people who you know, voted for Joe Biden? And this is an issue that does not fit that. I mean, I think that when you hear Republicans talk about energy prices and you hear them talk about immigration, even if those aren't big, super Republican majority issues, they've been safer. They're safer territory. They've kind of worked in the past. The anti-lockdown stuff is just look at the results from November. It has not been moving people away from the Democrats quite yet.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. David Weigel, national political correspondent with the Washington Post, also an author. David, I did not know the show that never ends, the history of progressive rock music. I might have a question or two about that. But in the meantime, getting back to the Republicans, the national Republicans, searching for a message. And certainly, I agree with you. This hasn't really resonated yet, and this might be the next incarnation of the, you know, open everything up. And I'm very glad to see, you know, the COVID numbers declining in this country, and hope that's probably a combination of all sorts of things, not least of which is, of course, the vaccinations getting out there. But your colleague at the Post, Aaron Blake, talking about the hoaxification. We see Ron Johnson from the state of Wisconsin really downplaying the efforts that the coup, the fascist coup that occurred, the attempted coup in the Capitol. It seems to me, David, that they're kind of bouncing around looking for a message that will resonate. Do you think that is what this playdown is? And do you think, if so, that would be successful?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing about all of this. So the way I was talking to the chairman of the Democrats' House committee, which depending on how redistricting goes in Wisconsin, it might not be doing anything, right? It might be investing here. It might not. It's been burned in the past in Wisconsin House races. But he was saying, like, look, if it's November 2022 and things the way they are now, then something terrible happened. Like the plan has always been that we're climbing back, and there are long term problems. I think the thing that is probably next to concern ourselves with is the people who lost their jobs and the people whose industries aren't coming back after this. And by industry, I mean something simple as you had a steady job in a movie theater and you don't now. What happens next with that? There's not a great Republican answer on that question. I mean, and there really hasn't. I've kind of looked for it, but the old here's how the government should invest in recovery, here's how it shouldn't. That you haven't even really heard that. You've heard some Republican criticism from people like Senator Johnson that Democrats want to spend a bunch of money when we need to let people recover, pull themselves by the bootstraps. We don't want to create dependency. But that's something the Democrats are looking at. It's like, look, they think that things will be back to work. People will be back to normal. And they don't have really a response to the Democrats' economic plan. Remember, Republican senators met with Joe Biden. They had kind of a lower ball COVID recovery plan, less than half of what he was spending. That's not where Democrats are going for. So the Democrats are thinking they're going to have a vote. They come back from recess next week. They're working on this COVID relief bill through reconciliation. If that passes, they're saying, okay, the new politics of March are going to be, we just voted for all this money that's going to the states. It's filling the holes in their budgets. Checks are going to people, unemployment insurance plussed up, et cetera. And Republicans didn't vote for it. So they're going to run as the party that's rebuilding. And what they think is, because of the kind of crisis this is, because it was a pandemic with a vaccine coming in, with people trying to bring their lives back, they think the politics will kind of not reset, but move in their direction again after they pass that. And I still point out, you guys thought this 10 years ago, and they just think the situation is different now. So we shall see.
David, the other consistent effort I've seen messaging coming out of the GOP has been the criticism of the media. Nikki Haley today put out an op-ed at the Wall Street Journal,
right,
essentially saying, it's the media that's trying to divide the GOP. Do you have any comments on that? And I guess I want to get your general sense of how do you think the national media is doing in addressing, some very contentious and difficult issues. Do you see the media as being the fake news, Dave, and intentionally getting into GOP politics and trying to divide them for the benefit of the Democrats? Or do you see that they're just doing their job?
Well, I don't know how to cover it except as division, right? I mean, I kind of was surprised Mike Gallagher didn't join the people. Let me go back and check. Gallagher didn't vote to overturn the election results, right? It was just basically Tom Tiffany and...
That's correct. Gallagher did not vote to impeach...
Yeah,
but he did not vote to overturn the electoral outcome either.
Right. And so how do you talk about that without saying they're divided? That's the Republican Party at this point. So the last time they were in opposition like this, where Barack Obama's president, they don't run anything. They were really unified. Every member of the House voted the same way on the stimulus bill. That was kind of the first big test. They all voted against it. And the story at the time was Republicans are unified behind this message of the stimulus isn't going to work, that it's too much money, that the debt is a problem, et cetera. It's, insert the history of the Tea Party. They're not unified right now. Now, they have the schools message we started off talking about. They have the energy message. They have the immigration message. But you're just being accurate if you're talking about the divisions. And I'd say that in the media's defense, I'm happy to make that Democrats are divided on some things, too. Not as many as they usually are. I think their problems got a little bit easier after Republicans fell into disarray after January 6th. But for example, the Democrats just rolled out this immigration bill, and you're going to have some members of the party, some people who want to vote for it, have already been disagreeing in public about it and saying we need more border security money. So covering disagreements is about what this is about. And with Haley, it's sometimes baffling what she's doing, because she has rushed in. I don't want to be pejorative, but she's kind of used her voice at different points in her career during a point Republicans were fighting amongst themselves to make a stand. And for the most famous one is, she's the governor of South Carolina in 2020. She endorses Marco Rubio for president in her primary. She campaigns against Donald Trump. Were we divisive to like point out that she did so? I think the statement she's making today is this response to this profile of her that got written by Tim Alberta in Politico, which I'd recommend reading. It's a long read. It's really good. And it gets at how, depending on what the story is at the moment, sometimes Haley's play, stance is clear. And sometimes she's saying that she's picking a fight. And sometimes she's saying the party shouldn't fight. It's a little bit hard to follow. I mean, compare it to a Tom Cotton or Ron DeSantis. There's other people who are in the Republican Party firmament who have not been jumping between positions, especially when it comes to Donald Trump, as much as she has.
David Weigel, we got to go. David Weigel from The Washington Post, thank you so much. More Devils.